Series, what, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, essentially what we're going to do on the fourth Sunday evening of each month, and if necessary we'll kind of bleed over into the first Sunday, or fifth if that's how it happens to be, but we're going to address kind of a social issue that is impacting the church, or a social issue that can impact Christians. And so, in a lot of ways, the first lesson that we're going to address this week sort of overarches all of those. Because really what we're talking about is those issues of right and wrong. And if you were to kind of say, what does right and wrong define? That would be about morality. And so this evening we're going to talk about morality. And I don't have all the answers. I have some questions that I know I don't have answers on, and I'd be curious to get your input on. But we're going to talk about morality. I hope to really address three questions, and that is, what is morality? We'll spend just a couple of minutes talking about that. We'll spend the vast majority of our time trying to answer the question of what defines morality. And then, assuming we have time, which I think we will, we'll spend just a little bit of time talking about how do we learn or teach morality. And those are the three questions that I thought we would structure the class around, with the majority of the time being spent on what defines morality. Because to me, I think that question helps gauge the rest of our conversations on all these other topics. Because we all got to be on the same page. If we're not on the same page, then I think we'll find that we're sort of like the world. And that's why these are confusing topics to people in the world. So let's just start with that first question. What is morality? So if someone were to ask you a question and say, well, what's morality? How would you answer that question? How would you define morality? Okay, you're getting into the second question of where we find it, but what is it?
Maybe a set of rules or principles by which people live their lives.
Okay. Dwayne, you're getting ready to say something.
Yeah, that's basic enough to say how we conduct our lives.
Yeah.
What we consider right conduct.
Okay, yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of listened for some key words, and I think we got it in behavior, conduct, system, right and wrong. It kind of smashing all of those together, morality is the system of behaviors, conducts, beliefs, as it relates to what is right and what is wrong. You know, if you get it to its root, it's morals. Well, what are morals? Morals are what is right and what is wrong. And while this seems simple enough, right? Morality. It's what's right and what's wrong. This is a topic that has created lots of confusion in the world. For 1,000 years or more, philosophers have attempted to define morality in practical terms. I suppose that if you wanted to go up the street and go to college, you could take an entire class on morality. They probably wouldn't call it morality. It might be called ethics, which are somewhat closely related. But this topic that may seem somewhat simple has been a complicated issue for those people living in the world. But if we're going to define it, it's what's right and what's wrong. Whether it's a behavior or whether it's an action or whether it's what you say, is it right or is it wrong? That's morality. So what defines morality? Well, Mike kind of got to this, but really what I'm asking here, as opposed to what defines morality, which is, I don't know, it's the way I ask the question, but really what I'm saying is, what is moral? What is right and what is wrong? And there's really three major things that we're going to that we'll talk about in this next little section. There's this idea of social consensus. And generally speaking, that's, what everyone agrees is right, that's right. And what everybody agrees is wrong, well, that's wrong. The majority rules. We'll talk a little bit about what I learned in college is called situational ethics, or the morality of a situation. That in some situations something is moral, but in another situation, well, the morality of something is different. What's interesting about those, and then the third thing we'll talk about is an internal moral guide. The interesting thing about those first two things, and maybe the third thing, is that this idea of that morality can change. Morality might be different based on the situation. It might be different based on the culture. It might be different based on the individual. It might be different based on the era, the time that we live in. Something moral 100 years ago might be immoral today, or vice versa. And so this idea that morality changes based on a number of things. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to first talk about, well, before I do that, how else do you think people define morality? So the three that I mentioned, and we'll talk about each of them, is what the consensus is, what everybody in a particular group believes is moral, then that is moral. That's one way to define morality. Another is, well, what's the situation? And that'll tell you what morality is. And then an internal guide. Well, what I think is right, that's right. What I think is wrong is wrong. How else do you see people defining morals, defining morality?
Sometimes by what the courts have ruled on.
Okay, so law. We'll talk about law a little bit. So what's legal is moral, and what's illegal is immoral. Okay? How else do people... Now, the thing we're missing there is a biblical view of morality. And I guess I just assume that we're gonna talk about those things. But anything else you can think of? And if something comes up, we'll talk about it. Let's look at social consensus. This is really the prevailing view of morality, because it's pervasive in all the other ideas of morality. And that is that something is moral if the majority of a specific group of people, society, agree that that thing is moral. And the same thing about immoral. Morality then changes based on society and changes over time. And in some ways, this leads to confusion. But Emily and I talked about this a little bit this afternoon. And here's where I just don't have the answer. Is there any truth in that? Are things that were immoral years ago, are they moral now? And things that were moral years ago, can they be immoral now? So let me give you two examples. And just to get you thinking. So we know that in Old Testament times, we see many of the patriarchs. We see Abraham. We see David, Solomon. Lots of people have multiple wives. Was it immoral for those men to have multiple wives? Now, if I wanted to take on a second wife, third or a thousandth, like Solomon, would it be considered immoral today? You see the dilemma there. Now let's look at it. There's something that was, at least appears as though it was moral. It was acceptable at one time, and now would be unacceptable. Now let's think of something else. The Bible talks at length about slavery. And there's laws in the New Testament even that if you're a slave, don't necessarily seek to get yourself out of that situation, but be the best slave you can be. And yet, if we were to take on a slave today, I mean, would that be moral? So do you see the dilemma here? Because one of the things that we're going to talk about is that morality is based in truth. And truth doesn't change. So we have this dilemma that we need to at least think about, that I can understand in some way how people look at this idea that morality changes through time based on certain situations. I can see where people can come up with that. And so it certainly creates confusion. It creates confusion in my own mind. So I'm curious as to what others think about this idea of morality changing over time. Oh, Dwayne.
This is not directly answering that question, but I don't, maybe you said this already and I missed it, but morality deals with interaction between human beings, I think, instead of human beings and God. Is that correct?
Probably.
I always thought that morality was more of a man-to-man, woman-to-woman, people issues, whereas between us and God,
yeah.
I don't know if there's a distinction there, but when we talk about moral, it's really a lot about how we treat one another.
Right. It's how we behave, yeah. And most of the time that's towards other people. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to plant a seed because as we go through this, I think what we're going to find is that that what is right and what is wrong does not change over time. But yet we have a few situations where we have to be able to answer those questions. What does that mean? What does it mean that it appears to be acceptable to have slaves, to have multiple wives? Maybe there's other situations too, but now if we were to do those things, it would be frowned on. Maybe it's because we're influenced by society. Could you be a Christian and have slaves? Could you serve God and have multiple wives? Well, I think the answer to that question is yes, because people did it. But the influence that society has on us says that, you know, those are things that we wouldn't do today.
Part of the answer might be, you know, another example is God allowed Moses to give a writ of divorcement. Was that pleasing to God? No. I don't think slavery was probably pleasing to God either. But, you know, during that time period of the world, God allowed it to happen, but he wasn't really happy with it.
Yeah, and maybe that's the right way to look at that.
And, you know, so, yeah, I don't think on some issues it's really a question of does time change morality, because it does not.
Yeah.
If it wasn't right then, it's not right now. And even if God allowed it, he did not condone it. And to say why he did or should have, I don't think we have the right to do that. Because he did.
Yeah, I guess I'm reminded of the sermon that Paul gave on Mars Hill, that where he said these times of ignorance God winked at or overlooked. Maybe that's the explanation. Okay, so another thought is that people will look at morality and say that right or wrong is based on the situation. In other words, something that's wrong in one situation may be right in a different situation and vice versa. A great example of this is the confusion that's created in the world by way of comparison. If it's considered murder if a drunk driver kills an unborn child while driving intoxicated, but yet it's not considered murder, at least in the eyes of the law, if a child is aborted. And so here, the end result is the same thing: an unborn child dies. But in one hand, one set of circumstances, it's considered one thing, murder, it's considered immoral, but in another situation, it's considered acceptable, at least in the eyes of the law. Some that ascribe this belief of morality will also contend that the end result appears to be good, then it's safe to conclude that the cause was good. But this is one of those things that the Bible addresses. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul says, "And what shall we say then?" Romans 3 and 8. "And why not say, let us do evil that good may come?" as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just. So Paul here says the same thing. Well, if the end result was good, it doesn't matter how evil the means were. But that's not the teachings of the Bible. I think it's right to say that morality does not vary based on time, does not vary based on the situation, and does not vary based on the individual. But I do want to focus in on this individual. Do we have an internal sense of morality? What would another word be for our internal sense of morality? Our conscience, yeah. And do we have conscience? Well, Mike, I'm not going to let you answer any more questions. Well, why does it depend? It
depends on if you have developed your conscience the way it should be and the way God wants you to. Some people don't have one at all anymore. The Bible talks about that also.
That's right, yeah. So that's a good point. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it talks about in later times these people are going to depart from the faith. And verse 2, it says, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So we know that our conscience, which is our moral guide, our conscience is like the alarm. If we're doing something or about to do something or something is said that is wrong, it's the alarm that goes off telling us this is wrong. It's also the alarm that motivates us to do something good. It's our conscience that leads us into things. But Mike makes a good point that it's not, should we be using our conscience as our guide for what is moral and what is not moral? No, but maybe, right? No, but maybe. And the reason we say no is that we know our conscience can be seared, right? We also know that in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in him. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. And what else are we told? Titus chapter 1, verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. So we know that we can develop a conscience that is either seared with a hot iron, right? That's numb, right? You know, if you burn something, what happens? It becomes numb. So we could have a numb conscience. What happens to people who have numb consciences? Is anything immoral? No, anything goes. Or we could have a defiled conscience. So maybe the better question is, can we trust our conscience? And the answer is not always. And yet, it appears as though we're born with this sense of morality, this sense of ought, that we ought to do certain things. And if you don't believe me, think about when people argue. We hear statements like, well, I was here first. I mean, what is it that keeps people from just cutting in line? I know, obviously, there's people who do it. But generally speaking, if there's a line, what do people do? Right? They get at the end of the line. Why? Because we have this sense of that is right and fair and just. We hear people argue and say things like, well, how would you like it if somebody did the same thing to you? Right? We even talk about the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, obviously something that's based in the Bible. But many people, that's what they believe in. Or, oh, come on, you promised, you know. You said you were going to do that. And so we have this sort of universal, unwritten moral law, this sense of morality. If we didn't have a sense of morality, then we'd just be like animals, wouldn't we? You know, what happens when two lions come up on some dead carcass? Do they talk it over and split up the carcass? No. They just fight until it's gone or one of them is run off. And so we have this innate sense of ought, that what ought to be done. We do have a conscience. It does aid us in making up decisions on what is right and what is wrong. It also has the ability for us to reflect back on our behavior. And our conscience may tell us that what we've done is good, and then we have a good conscience. Or maybe our conscience tells us that what we've done is wrong, and we have a guilty conscience, right? You've heard that said. And the Bible speaks of this idea of conscience and being a guide for us. In Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, Paul writes, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them." The Gentiles did not have the law, and yet they, when they did the things according to the law, based on their own conscience, they were of themselves showing the law that was written in their hearts. Well, what is this? This is that guide that, God has given us. But is every conscience good? No. And should we always follow our conscience? No. Remember what happened in the book of Judges? Right? The whole book of Judges is about the children of Israel serving God for a little while, and then they fall away and do other things. And then they serve God, and then they fall away and do other things. And what, at the end of the book, what is it that it says the people did when they weren't serving God? That's right. So Judges chapter 17, verse 6, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What is that? That's just total chaos. That's actually the world that we live in. If we're going to have our conscience work properly for us, because our conscience can be a guide for us, then it has to be trained according to God's law, His moral standard. But I think I want to point out something. Eric mentioned law, and I think it's good for us to talk about law right now. Law does not determine what is moral. And Paul makes this point in Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, that passage we just read about the Gentiles. The Gentiles were able to do what was right and knew what was wrong, but they did not have a law. Law doesn't determine what is moral, but law defines what is moral. See, morality exists outside of law. And there's a relationship there, but law does not determine what is moral. You know, some people say, well, if it's legal, then it's moral. If it's illegal, then it's immoral. But we know that not to be true. And I also think as Christians, we have to be really careful about this idea of legislating morality. There's a number of people who would want us to legislate morality. Well, I want us to be cautious of that. And the reason I say that is, let's think of some examples where that hasn't worked. So first of all, we think about some of the amendments to the Constitution about prohibition. Well, what happened? It wasn't that long after prohibition came that it swung completely the other direction, and we had another amendment to undo an amendment. The same kind of thing has happened in our lifetime, where there was this push to define marriage legally. And what happened as a result of that push to define marriage legally? What was the backlash?
What we see on the news every night.
The backlash was that, well, marriage is whatever you want it to be. And so what often happens when you try to have legislated morality is that people push back on it. And even if you had legislated morality, what would happen? Well, people would sort of have this false religion. They'd have this false sense of doing what's right. It doesn't produce the inward change that's necessary. It's interesting that Jesus had some opportunities to work through politics, so to speak, in his day. But Jesus said in John chapter 18, verse 36, when talking with Pilate, that his kingdom was not of this world. And remember when previously in John chapter 6, when they wanted to take Jesus and make him a king, what did he do? He disappeared. He slipped away. If Jesus wanted to work through law to create morality, he could have done that. But he didn't. And I think that's just an important note to make, that legislating morality was never a part of God's plan. But law does define what is moral. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. And let's look at 7 through 12. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I did not know covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the command, produced in me all manner of evil desires. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. As the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The law defines for us what is moral and not moral. And likewise, the Bible works in the same way. The Bible, we have through the Bible the example of what God wants us, how He wants us to live, and defines for us what is moral and not moral. But the Bible doesn't touch every topic as it relates to morality, but we can find applications in the Bible to apply to situations. The law and the Bible does not make things right or wrong. It simply states that they exist. Let me give you an example. We have a law in science called the law of gravity. Have we always had that law? Well, no. Somebody had to come up with it, didn't they? Newton came up with it. I don't know what year it was. 1600s or something. But did gravity exist before the law? Absolutely, gravity exists before the law. But what does the law of gravity do? It defines for us how gravity operates, but it itself did not create gravity. And the same thing is true about morality and the Bible and morality and the law. If we didn't have the Bible, would things still be moral and not and immoral? Absolutely, things would still be moral and immoral. That was the point of Romans chapter 2. But the Bible defines for us. It helps identify for us the things that are moral and not moral. Murder is always wrong, has always been wrong. It was wrong when Cain killed Abel. Was there a law then? There wasn't a law then. The law only explains to us that murder is sin, but the law itself did not make murder into sin. And this is why God's law is called truth, because that truth has always existed. Psalm 119, 127, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Which is much different than man's law, right? Because man's law, is it always moral? Does it always make morality? No, not at all. Okay, we have just a couple of minutes. How do we teach morality? I think this is pretty straightforward. If you were going to teach morality, how would you go about doing it?
Be an example.
Be an example. Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, I think what you just said in the last couple of minutes is a good way. As parents, how do we teach morality to our children? And basically, you're saying morality is what is right and what is wrong. And how do we know what is really right?
Yeah.
And we've got the answer because we've got the Bible. So I think that's the important lesson that we need the parents need to be aware of when teaching their children morality.
Yeah. So, about morality. Yeah, so if the source of morality is God, right? Because if
He's right. He's the source of all right.
He is the source of everything that is right. And so where are we going to learn about God? We're going to learn about God through the Scriptures. Now, we're going to learn about God through nature as well. But if we were going to teach morality, probably a good place to start would to be teaching the Bible. And as we go through each of these topics, I think we're going to find in each of them a hint of morality. I want to finish by giving this example. When you look at the world around us, what do you think about morality and morals of the world around us? Are they getting more moral or less moral? It's almost a silly question to ask. In 2013, the Pew Research Company conducted a survey. They conducted it of several countries, but I just want to look at the United States. And they asked questions about whether things were moral or immoral, or whether they were not a moral issue at all. And so there are some things that I was a little surprised at. 84% of Americans still say that extramarital affairs are immoral. Only 49% of Americans said that abortion is immoral. 37% said homosexuality is immoral. 30% said premarital sex is immoral. 24% said that gambling is immoral. 22% said that divorce is immoral. And 16% said that alcohol use is immoral. And if we were to take that same poll, say, 50 years ago, we might find that 99% of Americans say that extramarital affairs are immoral. And we could go down the list. What has coincided in that same time? A movement away from God. There was a study done in Psychology Today that concluded the most significant predictor of a person's moral behavior may be religious commitment. People who considered themselves very religious were least likely to report deceiving their friends, having extramarital affairs, cheating on their expense accounts, or even parking illegally. What does that tell you? That if you follow after God's laws, you will, more likely than not, be a person who is moral. And why is that? Because in God's laws, we find defined for us what is moral and what is immoral. Okay, there were a couple other things I wanted to say, but that's probably a good introduction for now. Do we have a closing number?